book of Joshua. We're up to chapter 13. The book of Joshua has been very exciting and action-packed. Chapters 1 to 4, there was the story of entering the land. And then in chapters 5 to 12, we have the story of taking the land. And now we have the story of possessing the land. But it's distribution of land. It's going to be sections of geography that are given to various people. And one of the ways that we can think about this chapter in a way that helps us is to think about what it's like to be in a position where a will is being revealed and all the distribution of that which was given in the will is being announced. And you're waiting to hear your part. Think of yourself as being one of the Levites. What about them? You'll see them in verse 14. You'll see them at the end of the chapter. They have a different inheritance. But think about this in terms of the Levites as we read. It might be helpful. This is the precious word of God. Verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. This is the land that yet remaineth, all the borders of the Philistines, and all Geshuri, from Sihor, which is before Egypt, even unto the borders of Ekron northward, which is counted to the Canaanite, five lords of the Philistines, the Gazathites and the Ashdothites and the Eshkolanothites, the Gittites and the Ekronites, also the Avites, from the south, all the land of the Canaanites and the Me'irah that is beside the Sidonians, even unto the Aphek, to the borders of the Amorites, and the land of the Gibites and all the Lebanon toward the sun rising, from Baal God under Mount Hermon unto the entering into Hamath. All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon unto Mishrepoth, Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance, as I have commanded thee. Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, with whom the Reubenites and the Gadites have received their inheritance, which Moses gave them, beyond Jordan eastward, even as Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them, from Aroer, that is beyond the bank, that is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain of Medeba unto Dibon, and all the cities of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which reigned in Heshbon, unto the border of the children of Ammon, and Gilead, and the border of the Geshurites, and Maacathites, and all Mount Hermon, and all Bashan unto Salcah. All the kingdom of Og in Bashan, which dwelt in Ashtaroth and Edrei, who remained of the remnant of the giants, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maacathites, but the Geshurites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. And Moses gave unto the tribe of the children of Reuben inheritance according to their families. And their coast was from Aroer, that is, the bank of the river Arnon, and the city that is in the midst of the river, and all the plain by Medeba, Heshbon and all their cities that are in the plain, Dibon and Bamoth Baal and Beth Baal, Meon. Meon, and Jahazah, and Kedemoth, and Mephiath, and Kir-Jathaim, and Sidna, and Zereth-Sha'ar in the mount of the valley, and Beth-Peor, and Ashdoth-Pishgah, and Beth-Yehishmoth-Mot, and all the cities of the plain, and all the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelled in Heshbon, whom Moses smote with the princes of Midian, Ivi, and Rechem, and Zur, and Hur and Reba, which were the dukes of Sihon, dwelling in the country. Balaam also, the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. And the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof. This was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. And Moses gave inheritance unto the tribe of Gad, even unto the children of Gad, according to their families. And their coast was Jazer, and the cities of Gilead, and half the land of the children of Ammon unto Aroer that is before Rabbah, and from Heshbon unto Ramoth Mizpah, unto Betonim, and from Mahanaim unto the border of Debir, and in the valley Beth Aram, and Beth Nimrah, and Succoth, and Zaphon, the rest of the kingdom of Sihon, king of Heshbon, Jordan and his border, even unto the edge of the sea of Kinneroth, on the other side Jordan eastward. This is the inheritance of the children of Gad after their families, the cities and their villages. And Moses gave inheritance unto the half-tribe of Manasseh. And this was the possession of the half-tribe of the children of Manasseh by their families. And their coast was from Mahanaim, all Bashan, unto the king of Og, king of Bashan, and all the towns of Jair, which are in Bashan, 70 cities, and half Gilead, and Ashtaroth, and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of Og and Bashan, were pertaining unto the king, children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, even to the one half of the children of Machir by their families. These are the countries which Moses did distribute for inheritance in the plains of Moab, on the other side Jordan, by Jericho, eastward. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, even as he said unto them. The precious word of the living and true God. Somebody says to you, you're getting old. It's happened. What do you think about? But what if you are the one who's getting old, a business owner? What if you're a boss? What if you're a king? Or someone like Joshua, who had given many years, the latter years of his life, to conquering the land. What does Joshua think about? When the Ancient of Days says to him, "You are old and stricken in years." Now we learn from the book of Joshua in the next chapter, chapter 14, that Caleb was about 85 years old at this time. Joshua was probably older than that. Joshua will eventually die at 110 years old, which means that he's in his 70s and 80s, perhaps even into his 90s, when he's engaging in these battles. It's pretty rough work. And now he's old and stricken in years. And it's a sobering thing in the book of Joshua to find that this one who is the warrior who would lead the people into the land is now getting old. It's a reminder that we need to trust in the greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who we've already seen as the one who rose from the dead to conquer death. But what do you think about when you are getting old and stricken in years, and you are reminded of that fact? What do I do with my remaining time? Who will carry on after me? And who will get the inheritance? These are the types of things that Joshua, of course, is thinking about, but the Lord is leading him in this conversation. The Lord doesn't tell Joshua that he's old and stricken in years because it's news to Joshua. He doesn't tell him because it's news to the living God. He tells him because this is the time. for him to take some action on distributing the land. Because, as the Lord says in verse 13, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. The conquest, in many ways, has been a great success. It's been a great victory. Chapter 12 has shown us that it was the continuation of what was happening under Moses. East and west of the Jordan, Israel is united, and they have conquered the land. But it's not all done. There's more work to do. And this is the tension in the book of Joshua. Joshua's getting older now. He's getting weaker. He's going to die at 110 years old, which is quite an old age. But he's not at the point where he can continue to battle. And so the Lord begins to take over. He begins to tell him that it's time for Joshua to distribute the land, to distribute it according to the tribes. Some of them have already won their land on the east side of the Jordan. Those are the people we'll learn about in this chapter. Joshua is supposed to be involved in this. But it's not Joshua alone. Remember, he's old and stricken in years. By the time we get to verse 6, the Lord says, specifically, regarding the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. I will drive them out. Literally, I myself. The living God is beginning to take charge of the distribution of this land. This is the time of the great distribution of the inheritance. The inheritance that was obtained by the presence of the living God as they conquered the land that belonged to the living God in the first place, but was being inhabited by wicked squatters. The people of the land who shook their fist at God. They had an opportunity to repent like Rahab, but did not turn to him. They fought. And now the land is being given to the people of God. What will I do with my remaining time? Joshua will begin to distribute the land. Joshua will be the means by which this, the inheritance is given to the various tribes. And this will go on for several chapters. And we'll see names like Caleb and giants. And we're going to remember the children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, and remaining tribes. But we're also going to hear from Joshua again. But before he makes that speech, before he makes this great farewell speech, Joshua does what he's supposed to do at this point. This great warrior puts down his spear and distributes the land. That's what he's supposed to do. This is about the inheritance. And as you consider this inheritance, I ask you to consider the Levites. Because the Levites kind of stand out in this account. This is a lot of the land that was obtained through battles that were won under Moses. He's mentioned specifically through this chapter. This is the land that is distributed. Moses is mentioned again and again and again in this chapter. It's the land that's being distributed, as we see in verse 7, for inheritance unto the nine tribes and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The Reubenites and Gadites, verse 8, which Moses gave to them beyond the Jordan, eastward. The unity of God's people. They're receiving their inheritance in chapter 13. It's east of the Jordan. In chapter 14, it's west of the Jordan. They're together receiving their inheritance. Because they're divided by the Jordan doesn't mean that they are divided people. They are one people of God. The continuation of these victories has been from Moses, Joshua, and those two have been used by God to lead the people to conquer the enemies. Now they have the inheritance. They're both pictures of Jesus Christ in their own way. But what about those Levites? Distribution of the land proceeds. It's a very orderly distribution. It's described in terms of geography. It's described in terms of places. These Reubenites, these Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, They're all receiving their land. We hear about Og, the king of Bashan, who Rahab knew about and is mentioned in the Psalms as a reminder. Remember I told you that's the code word for the victory of Jesus Christ over his enemies. Og was defeated. Just like the devil will be defeated. Just like death will be defeated. But what about those Levites? Children of Israel did not expel the Geshurites, verse 13 tells us. They continue to dwell among the Israelites. There's more work to do. God had made that very clear. And then we get to verse 14, and we read, only unto the tribe of Levi he gave non-inheritance. You get no land. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel, made by fire, are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Now, if you know your Bibles, you know this isn't new information. It was in Numbers 18, verse 10. It was in various places in Deuteronomy. The Lord God, as we get to the end of the chapter, is their inheritance. What that means is that the Levites have a different kind of inheritance. They have an inheritance that is directly tied to the spiritual benefit of having the living God be their inheritance. In other words, the Levites are pointers to that which truly lasts. This land is going to be distributed. But by the time we get to the book of Judges, we're going to find that this land is a land where the people of God are going to continue to have conflicts as they continue to become more and more like the people of the land. They can live in this land, but they need to have the connection that's given by the Levites. They need to have the connection that's given by these Levites to point them towards the true inheritance. As we read at the end of the chapter, the Levites have the Lord God of Israel as their inheritance. He's the inheritance of those Levites, the living God. This is stated for us throughout various places of the five books of Moses, as I said before. But it's important that we reflect upon this. The people of God, as they entered this land, were receiving physical, material inheritance. They had vineyards. They had farmlands. They had houses in which they could dwell. And this was all laid out in the book of Deuteronomy for them. You're going to be on farms that you did not initially till. You're going to be in houses that you did not build. But don't forget about me. And they had the Levites in order to help them. Because the Levites were supposed to depend upon the people of God for offerings and provision. And they were distributed throughout the land. The Levites had no physical inheritance in the land. They were completely dependent upon the people of God and the living God who was their inheritance. And so all along, the Levites began to point the people of God beyond the land. Even though the land is their inheritance, it's won as a great victory, they begin to be a representation to the people of God that there's something more. Again and again in the Bible, we see language of this spiritual reality. We're going to sing about it in Psalm 16 in just a few moments, as Psalm 16 declares clearly this spiritual reality that the people of God were supposed to gain from receiving this inheritance and from knowing about the Levites who had the Lord as their inheritance. Psalm 16, verse 5 says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Words from that psalm are sung by the church, by the people of God, generation upon generation upon generation. Because the living God has used these Levites distributed throughout the land to point to the true inheritance of God's people, the living God. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Can you say that tonight? It's very easy for us, living in a very successful, materialistic society where there's a lot of physical stuff, to place our attention upon that physical stuff. But just as the people of God were supposed to look beyond the physical inheritance that they were given by means of the Levites, by means of the inheritance that they were given, so are you and I. The Lord is my inheritance. The Lord has assigned my lot. The Lord has given me my portion in life. And what I truly recognize as my inheritance is the living God himself. You see, that's the ultimate focus of God's people. It was a reason that the Lord Jesus Christ came in the way that he did. He came into the world and his own people rejected him. The Lord Jesus Christ came in and he had to be born in a place that was set aside for animals. The Lord Jesus Christ had to depend upon the generosity of people who cared for him, women who took him into their home, and disciples who would go out and try to find provisions. Because all along, you see, those Levites, with the Lord as their inheritance, were pointing us to something that could only be brought about by the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, Joshua, continuing on with Moses, is going to grow tired, is going to grow weary and weak. Ultimately, Joshua is going to find his strength fails. But the living God all along had provided for God's people the knowledge of how they were to respond when their leader began to fail. Through the Levites who had no physical inheritance, they were to understand their relationship to the living God. The living God who says this, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." This is the one that we need to focus on. This is the one that Jesus Christ came to reveal. This is the one who enables you to say with the psalmist that I am in a position where I am provided for and I am content with my lot. I have an inheritance and it is the greatest inheritance possible. I have received through Jesus Christ, a relationship to the living God. The Levites all along were pointing the way. Jesus Christ paved the way, became the way. But the way is this. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I want to tell you what it looks like when you say that, but don't actually mean it. I was at a Bible study when I was in seminary with a young man who was reading from this particular psalm. And he said, "You don't always wake up in the morning and say, 'The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places.' Yea, I have a goodly heritage." And he was acknowledging the fact that sometimes we are discontent. And over the course of time, that young man lost his marriage and lost his ministry because he became addicted to drugs. He was heavily involved in drugs, even while he was working on a building project for our local church. So what we need to do is we need to follow the Levites. We need to follow the work of Jesus Christ, and we need to truly embrace the living God as our inheritance. Nothing this side of the inheritance that is God himself will do. Nothing can fill that void in you. No drug, no material object, no friend. No one can take the place of this inheritance. And that's why it is so critical and so glorious that the Levites were spread throughout the land. Because all along, from wherever they were pointing the people of God up. And then Jesus Christ came. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. Because the Lord is your inheritance, brothers and sisters. Praise God for the Levites. Praise God for the work of Jesus Christ. But praise God that he has replaced earthly inheritances with himself. That was the point all along. And it was God's grace to the people of God in the time of the distribution of the land that the Levites were pointing them upwards.